Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 14, but then we're going to go back and we're going to look at some verses that precede it, and we're going to read it again, and we're going to read right on into chapter 8. But we're beginning in Romans 7:14 because this really is the crux of what believers wrestle with. Suffice it to say, there are wonderful people who love Jesus and believe the Bible's true and don't agree about what this is saying. So, beginning in verse 14 of Romans chapter 7, this is God's word. "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh, or my sinful nature," it's translated here. "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The title of this morning's message is, "Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me?" Go back and look in Romans chapter 3 at verse 19. Romans 3, 19 and 20. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." Now look at chapter 4, verse 15. "Law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression." Now recall the words of chapter 6. In verse 2, look at chapter 6, verse 2. Now, I'm going to read portions of verses as well as whole verses back in chapter 6 by way of introduction to chapter 7. Chapter 6, verse 2, "We died to sin." Verse 6, "Our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Verse 7, "Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." Verse 8, "We died with Christ." Verse 11, "Count yourselves dead to sin. Consider yourselves dead to sin. Verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin. Verse 14, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Verse 17, you used to be slaves to sin. Verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Verse 19, you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. So now, offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. Verse 20, you were slaves to sin. Verse 22, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. With that background, let us hear the reading of God's word from chapter 7. I'm reading from the New International Version, which is not a perfect translation. But I'm reading from the New International Version because that's what we've been using as we go through Romans. Here we go. Romans chapter 7. Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she's called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me by what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. Let me read that phrase again. So that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. But in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Those controlled by the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. May God grant his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. When I was growing up, I listened to Christian radio quite a bit. Several of the preachers that I heard made a great impact on my life. I am sorry to say that I didn't get to thank all of them. I did get to thank some. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Whether you want to thank me or not, at least let me know you're listening. Contact us by going to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the materials there. Let us hear from you. Let us know where you listen and when you listen. And if you think it's helpful, please tell us. And if you think it's not, go ahead and tell us that too. But we would really appreciate hearing from you so that we know where our new listeners are. We are delighted that we have the privilege of coming into your vehicle, your home, your computer, wherever you're listening. We want to hear from you. Please contact us today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
In Romans chapter 7, Paul is in the middle of an argument in which he is demonstrating again what he has been repeatedly driving home throughout the book of Romans, and that is the only way anybody anywhere is ever going to get saved is by Jesus. Amen. That's the thesis. And he has shown that all of us are lawbreakers. But despite the fact that all of us are lawbreakers, there are people who really believe that, okay, now that I've been forgiven, he's already established, we've been forgiven. Now that I've been forgiven, I can clean up my act just by following the law. If I will learn to apply this, put it into practice, do what I'm told, then everything will come clean, I'll be fine. So I'm just going to work hard. Let me get a better grip on my bootstraps and pull harder. And Paul is driving home the point that just as we are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross, the only way that you and I can have victory over sin and walk in the holiness that God demands is through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ living in us. That's the argument. So let me highlight some verses for you here in Romans chapter 7. Begin with 7:1. Do you not know that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? Verse 4. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. Verse 5. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, or as the NAS says, while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. Verse 6, but now by dying to what bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. Verse 7, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. That's the purpose of the law. It's to show us our guilt, to show us the need for the Savior. I would not have known what sin was except through the law. Verse 13, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. That's the purpose of the law. That's why the law was given. The law wasn't given as just a map so that I would know what to do. Do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do that. We often think of it that way. We often think of God's word that way. It's our rule book. But what the rule book shows us is that we're lost. Because when we really try to screw up our strength and energize ourselves and really try harder, white knuckle obedience, we find ourselves in the condition Paul describes in chapter 7. In my own body, in my own strength, in my old nature, I can't do it. I've read a bunch of stuff on this. But I'll tell you, the most helpful thing I've read in a long time that I believe will be helpful to you was a piece of commentary written by a little-known writer. Let me share it with you. I believe you'll find it helpful as well. Is Paul describing his life before Christ or his life as a Christian? First, it's worth noting that the NIV mistranslation of sarx as sinful nature in the flesh can mean human, even used of Jesus in Hebrews 5:7. It can also mean controlled by fleshly desires, as in Romans 8:8. When the NIV translates this sinful nature, it opens the path to the following logic. Paul is describing his struggle with the sinful nature. But Christians are no longer sinful by nature. Therefore, Paul must be talking about his life before Christ. There are two problems with this, says the commentator. First, the tense of the verb that Paul uses in Romans 7 is present tense. It is true that present tense can be understood as a historical present tense, that is, the use of present tense to describe the past. However, we run into a greater difficulty at the end of the chapter in Romans 7:25, where the verb deluo occurs only once, so that it literally says, "So indeed, I myself with my mind serve God's law, but with the flesh the law of sin." The fact that the verb occurs only once means that whether the tense is understood to be present or historical present, that is past, the things are or were true at the same time. Grammatically, Paul can either be describing a non-Christian who delighted in God's law before being saved, or a Christian who struggled with sin after being saved. What he cannot be saying, though, is that before knowing Christ, his flesh was a slave to sin, and now in Christ, his mind is a slave to God's law. Not that this statement is not true, it is true, but grammatically, a verb that occurs only once in the Greek cannot be translated with two different tenses in English. This leaves us with a choice. Are we more likely to find a non-Christian whose mind delights in God's law, or a Christian who feels his body is a slave to sin? Given that the man without the Spirit cannot understand the things of God and is naturally at enmity against him, it seems much more plausible to think that Paul is describing Christians like the fleshly Corinthians who struggle with sin. The second difficulty is that Paul clearly says that it is, in fact, possible for a Christian to be re-enslaved by sin. Otherwise, why would he have issued the warnings in Romans 6:12 and 6:16? Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? In the same chapter, Paul says Christians are no longer slaves to sin, and yet that they can be re-enslaved to sin. The non-Christian is a slave to sin by nature, but the Christian becomes a slave again only by choice. Judicially, the Christian can no longer be a slave. Experientially, Christians are re-enslaved by sin when they refuse to walk in the power of the Spirit. So Paul writes to the Galatians, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." That is an excellent bit of commentary. And so I thank Pastor Brian for his scholarship and writing and sharing that. Now, am I free or not? Yes, I've been set free, but I have to walk in it. I have to live it out. It is an ongoing matter of obedience. So, what Paul describes is our need for rescue and the fact that we've been rescued. Paul is saying in chapter 8 is that what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. The law couldn't do it, but God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law would be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He is not saying that the righteous requirements of the law are fully met in Jesus Christ, and then therefore we don't have to live a holy life. He says, God's people learn to walk in the Spirit. When I rely on myself, I can't do it. But we're told, this is God's word, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Legalism has so many temporary benefits. It's a wonderful way of propping up your own self-image because you know rules that nobody else does. And you know what? God hates it. I am a recovering legalist. Because the fact of the matter is, no one is going to be justified in God's sight by keeping the law. Amen. And the reason is because we all break the law. So, what is our hope?
Well, forgiveness, that's it. You know, just forgiveness. That's grace. God forgives us.
No, grace, as we've said before, is so much more than being forgiven. We become joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and the same Holy Spirit who raised him from the dead comes to live the life of God through his people. And the consequence is that increasingly we are being changed into his likeness. And one day we're going to see him face to face, and we're going to be just like him. Do you really believe that? The devil doesn't want you to. Because the way that he can enslave you most easily is if you will believe his lies that you are still a slave. If you misinterpret Romans 7 to say, well, it's inevitable, I can't help it, I'm just going to sin over and over, and I just, you know, but the wonderful thing is God forgives. Well, it is wonderful that God forgives, but God doesn't just forgive. God gives life to people who were dead. He gives freedom to people who were slaves. And so now, as a child of God and joint heir with Christ, indwelt by his Holy Spirit, when the devil comes to me and says, you might as well go ahead, you can't resist, I recognize the voice of the father of lies. When he says you can't resist, he's lying. Because I have died to sin, I'm alive in Christ, and by his Spirit I can say, no, I'm not going to do that. So, is it possible to have victory over sin? Absolutely. Is it possible for a Christian to sin? Absolutely. But before we did it because we couldn't resist. Now, we only get in that pattern of addictions and so forth when we choose to submit ourselves again as if we were still slaves. Instead of relying on the declaration of our master who says, you are my child, and you are free. Hallelujah. Who will rescue me? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.